670 The Score's Mullin Haw is where Chicago starts their day with Bears Talk from 5:30 till 10 a.m.
For Ben Johnson, coaching Caleb Williams, you formulate what you want to do into what he can do.
They got the guy who can scheme guys open, who will make a difference, that can get people to think that they're better than they are. Ben Johnson schematically makes you think the Bears will be better as long as he's here.
If you missed it live, listen to The Score's Mullin Haw Show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
Go in there and spank him.
He's doing now is similar to what he did in Buffalo. He just had to clear some of the cobwebs. Play action. Rodgers on time. Skoronic. Touchdown.
Go in there and spank him.
Second down and goal. Jonnu Smith on the pop pass. He got to the pylon and he's in. Touchdown, Steelers.
Go in there and spank him.
For the Jets.
Oh, wide open.
And he hits. Jalen Warren. Touchdown, Steelers.
Go in there and spank him.
Kick from Boswell. Gibson returning. He loses the ball. The bobble and turnover.
Gainwell.
The cough up by Gibson. And the Steelers take over.
Go in there and spank him.
Tied for first with Minnesota. They had 17 interceptions. Fake the handoff. Rodgers under a rush. Wide open. Touchdown. Calvin Austin. Aaron Rodgers comes back to Jersey.
Go in there and spank him.
This is a 60-yard attempt. It would be a new career long for Boswell. For the lead. Sweeps the leg. 60-yarder. He's got it. Pittsburgh goes in front with 1:03 on the clock.
Go in there and spank him.
Fields on fourth down. Steps up. Fields delivers. Catch made. Oh. And the ball is jarred loose. Garrett Wilson could not secure it. And Jalen Ramsey has slammed the door shut.
And you spoke about the meeting with Aaron Glenn on McAfee a few months ago. Beating him, is there significance in that, since he basically told you to your face that he didn't think you were right for that team?
Yes, that's what he did.
So there's significance in beating him for you?
I was happy to beat everybody associated with the Jets.
Ah, the wry smile from the great Aaron Rodgers. And make no mistake about it, the old man was great on Sunday. 4 touchdowns. Despite being under constant pressure, despite having no running game, completed 73% of his passes, no turnovers, 4 tutties, 3 for 3 in the red zone, 2 for 2 in goal to go situations, 10 play, 71 yard touchdown drive after the Jets had taken an early lead, 6 play, 39 yard drive on the last possession to win the game. The Steelers scored like you called it, Doran. On the first drive of the game. They didn't do that at any point last season. They had only done it 5 times in the 51 games since Ben Roethlisberger's retirement. The Steelers had only scored 30 points or more 5 times in 51 games since Ben Roethlisberger's retirement. And the old man, Aaron Rodgers, on his white horse, comes in and does it all in Game 1. And let me tell you something. They don't win that game without him. At any point in the last 5 years.
Uh-huh.
As bad as the defense played from start almost to finish, if Aaron Rodgers is not under center for the Pittsburgh Steelers, they lose this game full stop. He was outstanding.
He really was. And it was pretty impressive, actually. Not just him being as outstanding as he was and 22 for 30 for 244 yards and 4 touchdowns. No, that stat line looks great. It does. But some of the things that he did in that game were just, you just can't teach. You just can't teach. And you could watch games all around the league. And we talked about it earlier. There was a lot of good games this weekend. Mm-hmm. It was a great opening weekend to the NFL season. It really was. And you could watch quarterback play. There were some great quarterback play this weekend. But Aaron Rodgers is up there with all those other dogs that played. He was up there with Herbert. He's up there with Allen and Lamar last night and Joe Burrow and those guys that go in and Jalen Hurts. That played this weekend, and Jordan Love. You got to throw Aaron Rodgers up there because But to me, what was so impressive is the arm angles and the throws that he was making that none of those other guys probably can make. And those guys are better than him right now because they're younger and, you know, they just are better than him. But Aaron Rodgers would be, I mean, he'd be ducking. He'd be, you know, turning a different way. And then he would just flick the ball and it'd be right on point. Like, he could get himself out of a lot of situations just by his arm talent. It is amazing and so much fun to watch. Really, I mean, just on point. A lot of his throws, most of his throws, I'd say like 90-some percent of his throws are on point. It was very pleasant to see. And that's why, Crowley, last week I said that I would be upset if I saw the offense do bad than the defense. Because I still believe that the defense can fix some of their issues. They aren't going to be as bad as they were yesterday all season, in my opinion. I feel like they're going to get better. But if the offense was flipped, I'd be like, oh, man, that means Rodgers doesn't have it. In my opinion, that's what I was thinking. I was like, if the offense looked bad yesterday and the defense looked good, I would have been worried because I'm like, Rodgers doesn't have it anymore. Now where do you go? You got to go to what, Mason maybe? And then what? What is this? You know, it's harder to get on the same page with an offense throughout a season than it is a defense. So yesterday I was happier, I guess, with how the offense played, even though the defense played so bad, because I feel like the defense can get that fixed.
It's so funny you say that, because on Thursday and Friday, we had a couple of topics about how our perspective on this team could change depending on what happened in Sunday's game. And I said on Friday I would be really concerned if the defense stunk, right? And I expected the offense to get out to a slow start, and I even said I would give them one free pass. If they struggled for two consecutive weeks offensively, I would be concerned. But because they didn't play this preseason, I would be okay with it if it looked clunky and ugly in game one. I also said one thing that would make me feel better about this team is if the offense did come out and play really well. So the thing that was going to have me concerned is if the defense stunk. The thing that was going to have me elated was if the offense was great. And lo and behold, both things happened at once.
Uh-huh.
And so I think it begs an obvious question to start things off on this beautiful victory Monday morning at 412-928-9370. Defense atrocious, offense great. Are you feeling better or worse about this team now than at 12:59 p.m. yesterday? 412-928-9370. Look, the defense was awful. I feel better about the team.
Mm-hmm.
I feel better about the team. I thought that the offense would take a minute or two. It did not. Aaron Rodgers was throwing darts all over the place. He is the most accurate passer in the history of the sport, and that hasn't gone away. He does not look like Ben did at the end of Roethlisberger's career. Rodgers can't move. That's pretty evident. Ben could not move. That was pretty evident. But Ben didn't have the arm at the end that he had throughout the entirety of his career. Aaron Rodgers' arm, I don't think it's overstating things to say, is as good as it's ever been.
Yeah.
His arm looks great. And we weren't concerned about that. And even though I thought they would play poorly offensively yesterday, I thought on the whole they'd be a better offense. Well, now, you put up 34 points, couldn't run a ball. You put up 34 points, couldn't pass protect. What happens if you can get your running game to being average?
Right.
What happens if you get your tackles, who were both brutal, particularly Jones, what if you get them closer to average? All of a sudden, you might be working with something
here. Yeah.
So the defense stunk, and I said that would have me big worried. But the offense was so good. It's a quarterback league. It's an offense league. Hey, Dorn. They got a quarterback.
Yeah.
They got a quarterback.
They do. You just got to keep them healthy.
Yeah.
You got to keep them healthy. I mean, look, I'd rather be in this situation right now with the way the offense looked and the defense looked than Cincinnati's situation. Like, because I still have faith in this defense. Like, I still think that they could find something. I don't know if Cincinnati's defense will ever find anything.
Yeah.
You know, they actually, you know, Cincinnati's defense, you could name one player on their defense. And not saying that that matters, but like, you look around this defense, like, all right, like, these guys got to get it together, right? Like, TJ Watt has to get it together. Cam Hayward has to get it together. Jalen Ramsey has to get it together at some point for them to play at a high level. I think that they could do that. And it may take some time. It may take one more game. They may be on fire on Sunday against Seattle. Don't know. But I still have faith that this defense can figure something out to not play the way that they did yesterday.
The run defense giving up 299 to the Ravens, and then the next time they take the field giving up 182 or whatever it was, that's not good. But the main cog in fixing the run defense is Derek Harmon in their minds, and he didn't play in this football game. So at least you have that, not necessarily excuse, but reason. I still think it's almost unforgivable that you could be this highly paid.
Absolutely.
And you have these stars.
No doubt.
And friggin' Justin Fields is going up and down on the field on you? Absurd. We'll get into the defense, and we'll get into the line. We'll get into all of it at 412-928-9370. The thing that struck me most about the offense, Thorne, was it didn't look fluky.
Mm-mm.
When Russell Wilson put up all those points on the Bengals last year, A, we knew the Bengals defense at that point in the season was historically bad, but it was all dump downs basically in the middle of the field that was a bunch of yards after catch, and it was more about the Bengals defense being bad than the Steelers offense being good. And when Russ was at the apex of his powers last season, it was fly routes, it was throwing it deep down the field, and it was checking it down. That wasn't going to be sustainable. Not when he takes as many sacks as he does and the offensive line was as poor as it was. And we had even talked about it at the time. When they're in a game and you know it's traditional drop back, five step, seven step drops, are they going to be able to protect Russell Wilson? No. Aaron Rodgers didn't get protected.
Mm-mm.
And he still distributed the ball all over the place.
All over it.
It did not look fluky. He hit intermediate stuff. He took deep shots outside the numbers, in the numbers, a little bit on the move, this arm angle, that arm angle. It did not look fluky, and it's not to say the Steelers are going to put up 34 points every week or anything like that, but it was nice to see that it was in there. And for him to do what had only been done five times since Ben retired and score on that first drive, which you called, for them to put up 30-plus points for what, only the sixth time since Ben retired, and it not look fluky? Even though the defense stunk, I don't know how you can't feel better about the Steelers today than you did yesterday.
Yeah, and how multiple they are. I mean, they can, you know, the weapons that they've acquired for offense and had in from last year, like, they are very, very multiple, and there's some things that they left on the table that they didn't do. Darnell Washington still can be a threat in this offense, didn't really get utilized in the passing game as much yesterday. So
Wilson didn't get utilized.
Roman Wilson loved seeing Calvin Austin be a part and showing that he could be the wide receiver number two. I think that might be solidified. You agree or not? Like, I think that Calvin Austin really has proven, like, hey, we don't need a number two.
His combat catch down the sideline,
that was
that's not something he had in his bag last year.
No.
And he should have drawn a penalty that would have salted away the game. Rodgers bitched about it after the game. I think Rodgers was correct in his gripe. That was a ballsy toss on third down, knowing that if you don't get it, you're going to have Chris Boswell have to kick a 60-yard field goal, but who cares? He does it with his eyes closed in his sleep. Doesn't matter if the laces are in or out. Doesn't matter if you've got sandbags tied around his butt cheeks. That guy's making a damn 60-yard field goal. Holy cow. Because Mike Tomlin says he's a serial killer. So much to get into. So much analysis forthcoming. But we want to hear from you at 412-928-9370. We're going to have open phones for most of today's show. Do you feel better or worse about the Steelers? Defense, bad. Offense, really doggone good. 412-928-9370. What did Aaron Rodgers have to say about his offensive coordinator? We'll let you hear that when we come back.
670 The Score's Mullin Haw is where Chicago starts their day with Bears Talk from 5:30 till 10 a.m.
For Ben Johnson, coaching Caleb Williams, you formulate what you want to do into what he can do.
They got the guy who can scheme guys open, who will make a difference, that can get people to think that they're better than they are. Ben Johnson schematically makes you think the Bears will be better as long as he is here.
If you missed it live, listen to The Score's Mullin Haw Show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
Yeah, Ben was wide open, so that was nice. Good play call by Arthur. We actually ran it. That play twice, hit two touchdowns. One to Ben, one to Calvin. So I thought Arthur called a really good game. I thought I was far from perfect today, so I got to clean some things up this week.
I also thought Arthur Smith called a good game.
In his bag a little bit, huh?
Yes, he was.
Uh-huh.
Not only were some of the play calls in and around the goal line, I thought, perfect. Like Jaylen Warren, wide open for a touchdown, too. I mean, three of the touchdowns, just wide, stankin' open. And the other touchdown pass was like the old Tavon Austin pop pass to Jonnu Smith, which that guy gets going with his size and his speed at the goal line. Good luck tackling him. It was also that they clearly couldn't run the ball, and they didn't keep forcing the square peg into the round hole. Now, right. I think some of that's Rodgers at the line of scrimmage gesticulating and changing plays and knowing that, hey, we're not going to run the ball into a stack box here. But they had Rodgers drop back 35 times and only had 19 traditional handoffs. And I feel like if Fields had been the quarterback here or if Russell Wilson had been the quarterback, that they would have tried to continue to run, and see if the dam would eventually break. With Rodgers, it was, okay, we're not having success running the football. Let's let Aaron Rodgers be great, and he was.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think sometimes, we've talked about this so many times over the years, Doran. You've said this a bunch. Sometimes you got to do the obvious thing.
Yeah.
And when you couldn't run the football, let Aaron Rodgers go out there and win the game.
Well, what's your best assets at that point? It's like looking around. It's like, okay, like DK Metcalf, if I could throw a screen pass, or I could throw a bubble screen, or I could throw a now screen and a bullet screen to DK Metcalf, like it's like a 1 yard play. It's essentially a run, and he's going to take it 40. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do that. You know, like, I'm going to do that. Like
Rodgers' first two third downs that he faced, he puts a bullet right on the body of Pat Freiermuth that you can't drop. That just gets sucked into your ribs. Sucked right in your ribs. And then he throws one short of the sticks on the outside, but he has enough faith in his playmaker, DK Metcalf, where doo-doo, and he's up the sideline, and oh my God, he's like a runaway beer truck, that guy. Do you feel better or worse about the Steelers? Defense, mostly horrendous. Offense, mostly really good. So how do you feel about your Pittsburgh Steelers today? That's the Fan Morning Show Twitter poll brought to you by PJ Fitzpatrick Home Improvement. Trust PJ.com, and you can give us a ring at 412-928-9370. To the phones?
Yes, sir.
To the phones. Dominic, first up in Buffalo. Hello, Dominic.
Hello. Good morning, guys. Yeah, I'm feeling very good this morning, not just because the Ravens lost here in Buffalo last night, but also because Rodgers looks amazing. I mean, 244 yards yesterday. You got to be happy with that. Him and DK are going to have a great relationship on the field. DK averaging 20 yards of reception. I mean,
yeah.
How can you not go into week two super happy about the offense? I agree with you on the defense. We got to stop the run better. But this offense, I mean, we were mixed about it going in the season, and now I think it's just solidified that we're playing Steeler football now.
Well, Steelers football, I think, generally implies you're going to run the ball and play defense, and they didn't do either of those things, and they still won, which we talked about on Friday. The Steelers were 2-8 last season when they gave up 19 or more points. And you have to find a way to win when your plan A path to victory is taken away. And their plan A path to victory was taken away yesterday. Did not run the ball, did not play defense, and they still won. So how could I not feel better?
Right.
Because you're going to get Derek Harmon back. Your pieces on defense are way better than they played. And believe me, I'm not excusing the defensive performance. We'll lay into them a little bit later on. But you found a way to win in probably the way you did not draw up winning the game. That hasn't happened a lot around here lately. It just hasn't. When you give up 32, you know how that usually looks
you lose.
The last 5 years? You lose, and you lose bad.
Right.
And they came from behind down 9 points twice in this game. There were times these last 5 years, you're down 9, it feels like you're down 39.
It's over.
Yeah.
You're turning the TV off. You're switching the games.
You're watching the replay of the Ohio-West Virginia game.
Absolutely.
Because it was more aesthetically pleasing. Let's go to Sean in Pittsburgh. Hi, Sean.
What's going on, man?
How you doing, buddy?
I can't complain, boss. Hey, man, I just want to tap in and give you my spiel on the Steelers last night. I love my Steelers, man. I was ready to quit them after last season, but I think we're good, man. Our defense, man, is high. As much money as we put into that defense, I feel like they could have played a hell of a lot better than they did. As far as our running game, I feel like I don't know if we have a solid back in Gainwell, man. He's definitely a situational back, and, you know, he gets a pop whenever sometime he might get an open hole or something. But we really need to read them defenses a little bit better and see, like, damn, that box is stacked. Let's audible this play. Let's learn to get some better audible calls in. And Aaron Rodgers, man, he did exactly what I expected him to do. And the one thing that impressed me is we didn't have any turnovers. So
for sure.
Good point.
Yeah, that was a big part of a 34.
Not a lot of penalties either, Doran. And thank you for the call, Sean. We appreciate it, buddy.
I think the situation with Gainwell, they wanted to get him carries because they have so much faith in him as a receiving threat at running back. And they don't want to go into a situation where, hey, we want to use Kenneth because we think that he could be such a threat at the running back position on linebackers and things of that nature, but we don't want to have to put him in the game and everybody just know that that's what we're doing. So we have to set that up.
Yeah.
And I think that they had a lot of faith, like, hey, yeah, he could get some carries. We need to get some touches, get him some handoffs in the backfield so we could set up him being that receiving threat. Because I've heard multiple times throughout training camp of how his receiving game was up to standard of almost everybody else, every other receiver at training camp. So, and we've seen it over the years, him as a third down back. So I think that was the method there with Kenneth Gainwell, that they wanted to set him up more as a receiver, but they had to give him some carries to do that.
Yeah, you can't just, every time he's in there, drop back to pass.
Right.
That's well said by you. I was surprised that Warren carried it 11 times and Gainwell 7. And Gainwell had 3 catches for 4 yards, so it was an explosive there. Jalen Warren, 2 for 22, so a little bit more explosive. But both guys played a lot, and Caleb Johnson, he got some work to do.
Yeah.
And Kenneth Gainwell is going to keep playing, because you know what else he did? He forced the biggest play. He had the biggest play of the game, arguably.
Yes, he did.
Running down there, not a big guy, forces the fumble, and then Ben Skowronek, the greatest special teams player in the history of football, he falls on that sucker.
And he scores a touchdown.
And he scores the first touchdown of the season. I don't want to skimp over the fact, too, that the Steelers had a 48-yard penalty yard advantage. The Steelers played clean football, 4 for 26. The Jets had 70-some yards and penalties racked up. That helps win the football game as well. Do you feel better or worse about the Steelers after watching them win in week one? 412-928-9370. You can tweet us. Brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Text us. Brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Just because we both feel better about the team today than we did yesterday does not mean there aren't things to be critical of course. We'll do a little bit of that when we return. We'll take your call.
670 The Score's Mullin Haw is where Chicago starts their day with Bears Talk from 5:30 till 10 a.m.
For Ben Johnson, coaching Caleb Williams, you formulate what you want to do into what he can do.
They got the guy who can scheme guys open, who will make a difference, that can get people to think that they're better than they are. Ben Johnson schematically makes you think the Bears will be better as long as he is here.
If you missed it live, listen to The Score's Mullin Haw Show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
There's Rodgers on first down. Pressure, and he's brought down. Quinnen Williams gets home.
We got to be able to turn our back to the defense on play pass on first and second down. I thought that's where we were most leaky. But it's risk associated with that. I understand that. But that's just a component of play that we desire to be functional at, and we weren't good enough today.
I thought Tomlin nailed that. Couple of times on the play action, Rodgers got absolutely smoked. Now, when they kept him upright on play action, hoo-hoo!
Bang, bang.
8 for 10, 71 yards, 3 touchdowns off of play action against the Jets. So, if they can keep him upright a little bit more than they did in this game, that, I think, is going to be a massive weapon for them all season long. And we had talked about that coming in. Rodgers, an elite play-action guy. Arthur Smith loves to call play-action. And they called early down play-action, too. First play of the game.
Yep.
I think they were going to go deep. And he winds up getting sacked. And then a couple of drives later, I think they were going to go deep. And he winds up getting sacked. So the play calling was aggressive. And when they did block it up, 71 yards, 8 out of 10, 3 touchdowns. Broderick Jones needs to be way better, though.
Yeah, which sucks because like now it's like, all right, we're going to have to keep Darnell in and we're not going to be able to use our personnel that we think is going to be most effective in the passing game. So like that's the decision you're going to have to make this week. It's like, do we give Darnell or do we give Broderick another week to, you know, see if he figures it out, or do we just put Darnell to his side and, you know, have to run 12 personnel, but really just one, Pat Freiermuth is a tight end or Jonnu Smith, or one of them's got to come off the field. Or do we run 13 personnel? Like, what do? We keep Calvin off the field. So now it's really putting this offense in a bind in a little bit because he can't hold up. So that's the decision you're going to have to make this week. I wonder what the matchups are with Seattle. We'll get into that as the week does go on, but you just hope that Broderick Jones could just figure it out just a little bit. It doesn't have to be like superstar level either.
No.
Just hold up, man. I mean, he was whiffing.
Dan Moore Jr. stunk too, so that made me feel somewhat better because at least the guy that stinks for you isn't making any.
You mean yesterday?
Bucks. Yeah, he was terrible.
Terrible.
He was terrible. Titans fans were absolutely lambasting. Were you type in Dan Moore Jr. on Twitter, you're going to see some stuff, which isn't very nice, but he was not very good. Nightmare start for Broderick Jones. Let's just call it what it is. 3 sacks allowed, 5 total pressures. I thought one of the sacks, if I'm nitpicking, was more of a coverage sack than it was Broderick Jones. But, buddy, you don't get no benefit of the doubt. You just don't. And the other sack was, I think, Faltanu. So the tackles need to be better, but Broderick Jones was he was a disaster. It's a miracle that they put up 34 points, that Aaron Rodgers played as well as he did when your left tackle was a turnstile all day. But I think if we are having the conversation, do you feel better or worse about this team after game one, and you and I say we feel better, we still have to acknowledge the bad. And Broderick Jones was horrendous. Like, you cannot sugarcoat it. He was horrendous after a good preseason.
Yep.
So hopefully that's just a bump in the road, but I think it's more than that. We'll talk to Trey Essex later on in the show, who can get into some of the nuts and bolts and nuances of offensive line play.
I mean, you talk about it's a miracle that Aaron Rodgers did what he did. I mean, that just speaks to the arm talent that he does have and how fast he does get the ball out. So, you know, it's lucky to have that arm talent back there, clearly. But, man, I'm really anxious because I was reading some of Trey Essex's tweets yesterday. I'm really interested to hear the details of what he saw went wrong with Broderick. I think that we know with our eyes, but he's going to know exactly if something can get fixed from one week to another, or is this a problem?
He said he was a technical disaster, I think, is the way he
bad.
Put it.
Just bad.
And they couldn't run the ball at all. 20 carries, 2.7 yards per carry. Statistically, from top to bottom, the Steelers got dominated in this football game. They won the turnover battle 1-0, which went a long way, and Aaron Rodgers was elite. They lost every statistical category. If you would have read me the statistics before the game, I would have told you the Steelers lost going away.
Yep.
So, hey, you'll take the dub. Sam in Cranberry. Hello, Sam.
Hey, how's it going, guys? First, I wanted to say it feels really good to get the Pirates monkey off the back. I don't know if you guys feel that, but I'm done watching them for the year. But I do feel good about the Steelers. Feels very good to see a quarterback go to his fourth wide receiver, and we haven't seen that in Pittsburgh in many, many years.
Yeah, 7 guys caught passes yesterday, Sam. Appreciate the call. Rodgers does. He spreads it around. Who had Ben Skoranek with the first touchdown? 1 catch, 22 yards. It was a touchdown, and he also fell on a fumble. Congratulations to Ben Skoranek.
What was he doing in there? Like, where was Scotty Miller? Was he down? No, he was dressed.
Mm-hmm.
I was wondering that too. I was like, was this on purpose? Was this like a Rodgers thing on purpose where it's like they're not gonna expect me to throw the ball to Skoranek. Let's throw him in there on this play, on this over route.
He was so wide open.
Yeah, like what was he doing? Like, usually where's Roman Wilson? Like,
did you hear Rodgers post game too? Rodgers said, when I released the football, I saw him wide open. I thought, oh my gosh, Skoranek's gonna score the first touchdown of the year.
That's great.
And both he and Tomlin commented, sort of in a jokey fashion after the game, how much Skoranek loves himself and how good Ben thinks he is. So good to see that. And everyone knows he's a good special teams player. But that's true, man. 7 guys caught passes. What did I do?
How good Ben thinks he is?
Bleeper. Ben Skoranek.
I thought you meant Ben Roethlisberger.
No, how good Ben thinks he is.
Okay. Caught yourself there. I thought you were saying.
Now don't you feel
said,
dumb?
No, I don't, because you were saying Rodgers was talking about, oh my gosh, Ben Skoranek is going to get this first touchdown. Yeah. And then you said how Ben thinks he is, and I thought you mixed
how
up
good
Aaron Rodgers with Ben.
No, I did not.
Okay, well then that's my fault.
It is your fault.
Yeah, I scared you too. Good.
That did. I peed a little. Seven catches. Roman Wilson didn't get one of them, and Scotty Miller didn't get one of them. And Scotty Miller was Mr. Preseason, and Roman Wilson was supposed to be the guy. Did they solve wide receiver, too? We will get to that a little bit later on. We were supposed to have Caboli from 7:50 to 8:50. He texts me, says, no, I can do original 9 to 10. I said, are you coming in? He said, no, I don't have my car. He was supposed to fly out of New York today. I have no idea what happened to Caboli, but it sounds like he's going to have a story to tell us.
Huh.
Also, Ray Fittipaldo's plane flies to New York. All the planes at JFK, LaGuardia, and the stupid one in New Jersey were grounded because of the weather. So they circled the airport, then wound up having to fly back to Pittsburgh.
Get the heck out of here.
So Ray Fittipaldo's plane took off from Pittsburgh, flies to New York, circles around New York, comes all the way back.
And then goes back.
And then eventually went back. They got there.
What?
Mm-hmm. Nightmare scenario.
That is. That's one of the worst.
Sounds like maybe Caboli's got a story that could top that. We'll continue taking your calls at 412-928-9370 on the fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years.
And our kicker is a serial killer, man. He got a low pulse rate. He can't wait to deliver.
50-minute mark on the fan brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Route 19 in Peters Township. That got a big chuckle out of me when I heard him say that live yesterday. Our kicker's a damn Zodiac killer, man. That dude walks out there 60 yards, and Boz told Mike Florio on Football Night in America, when the ball left his foot and he knew it was straight, he didn't have to look.
Mm.
He knew it was straight. He knew he was going to have the distance.
He knew he had enough leg, like, easily.
He is a cheat code.
Yep.
He is maybe, when it's all said and done, the best kicker in the history of the league.
Wow.
When you look at the percentage, I think he's missed like three field goals of 50-plus the last couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
He's automatic. He banged a 56-yarder early. He don't need to be out there practicing golf all the time. What do I care?
Yeah, you're good, man.
I wonder if at any point this year that they'll allow him to try from beyond 60.
Probably.
Because that thing was good from 65?
Oh, probably even maybe longer.
Longer.
I mean, it hit the net.
That's stupid.
Yeah.
That's stupid.
And down the middle, too.
And think about, it was right down the middle. Right. You think about the play call on third down where they attack downfield to Calvin Austin the third. And it was a great throw from Rodgers. Should have been P.I., and we never would have seen the 60-yard field goal. Steelers could have run the clock out and kicked it with the clock hitting zero. It allowed them to take a shot on third down because, you know, shoot, if we don't get it, our kicker's going to be money from 60. It's so. It not only does he win you games because of his accuracy, he wins you games because he allows you to do other things that coaches around the league can't do.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah, we're just going to take a shot here because I'm sure everyone in Jetsville, I'm sure Aaron Glenn and everybody on the Jets sidelines thinking they're going to do something here to get 5 or 6 yards off this field goal, get a chunk, make it easier. Maybe we're going to have to use a timeout. They'll take some time off the clock, and you actually get to throw one down the field because, you know, oh, that's okay. If we get nothing, then he's going to hit a 60-yard field goal.
And our kicker is a serial killer.
What if he actually was?
That wouldn't be good.
No.
Then he wouldn't be the cheat code anymore.
I'd forgive him, though, because he's that good.
Well,
he deserved getting paid more than Cam Hayward. How about that? I don't know if I actually believe that, but he's so stupid good.
He's the best.
He doesn't get talked enough about. Like, I feel like we don't talk enough about him.
He's just kind of like a, you know, out of sight, out of mind until he's in sight. Like, it's you kind of take him for granted. That's a bad situation to be in. I mean, not really, but it is. It's like you take him so much for granted. And that's what the Ravens, you know, had all those years. Like,
yes.
They took it for granted. Like, you cross the 50, like, you're good.
We got some fun Ravens stats. We can make fun of them coming up in a little bit. That was a hell of a football game last night. When we return, hey, we've talked about a lot of the good. We'll continue to take your calls. We have open phones for the next couple of hours at 412-928-9370. So Ethan and Rob and others, stay patient. We'll get the ins. The defense was awful. We'll break it down when we come back. First, fan weather brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions.
670 The Score's Mullin Haw is where Chicago starts their day with Bears Talk from 5:30 till 10 a.m.
For Ben Johnson, coaching Caleb Williams, you formulate what you want to do into what he can do.
They got the guy who can scheme guys open, who will make a difference. It can get people to think that they're better than they are. Ben Johnson schematically makes you think the Bears will be better as long as he's here.
If you missed it live, listen to The Score's Mullin Haw Show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.